Tell me about that one.
Oh, I'm glad you picked that, Larry. You know, that is a song, believe it or not, from 1909. And it's really when the movies were just getting their foothold. And it's a show about one of the great things about going to movies, which is you can spoon with your girl. I don't think most people know what that word means anymore. Do you even know what people
mean? I do. It's like sparking, only older.
That's right. It means making out. It means holding hands or snuggling up or kissing or whatever. They could go into a dark place. And that was alarming to a lot of people in 1909, that girls or women could go in this dark place and men would approach them and, you know, come on to them, you know, and in a way that they did not like. And so I brought this artifact. I don't know if you want to I was challenging Chad beforehand. This is a piece of sheet music, which was the, you know, everybody had a piano in their home in those days. And it's a piece that is from Pennsylvania. It's called March of the Movies. See if you can decipher the message on them. Describe what you're, I'm putting you on the spot now. Describe what you're seeing and what do you think the message is about the movies?
Well, it's the poster's from Reading, but as I...
It's a piece of sheet music, actually. It's a piece There's of music sheet inside. Music.
I see some very buxom women on the front, and there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 women, 4 men, and the pianist.
That's a different piece of sheet music.
Yeah, and... Charlie is up on stage dancing. He's kind of looking away, and I think he's almost like saying, I'll turn my head and you can all do what you want to do. But
let me help you decode it. He's not on stage. He's on a screen.
Oh, on a screen. It's being projected. Right, right, right.
There's a piano player playing before him, and he's doing one of his characteristic jokes, because he made jokes about one of the reasons he was so funny in a silent movie is he made jokes about the things you don't think about. How do you walk funny? How do you tip your hat to a passing lady? Funny. How do you step on a curb? Funny. Or light a cigarette? Funny. And this, when he would turn around, he would sort of whirl around as Chad.
Yeah.
And he would have one foot sticking straight out, one leg sticking straight out parallel to the ground, and he would twirl in a circle as though he needed to break his momentum. And so he made a joke about turning a corner. How do you turn direction? But the big message is you're seeing the audience, and everybody is really well-dressed.
Mm-hmm.
There's children there. Even the young boy is wearing a tie.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Everybody is laughing. Even the piano player who's seen the film a dozen times already every day, everybody's laughing because they want to see Charlie Chaplin. And so the message is going to the movies is fun and it's safe.
Fun.
There's well-dressed, good, nice people, the kind of people that you want that you're not worried about, leaving your son or your daughter in a place where rough people would be stealing their money or trying to grab a kiss.
Which is what you're looking for after the war, right? And after the influenza that you were talking about, maybe.
This is during the war. This came out in 1915.
Oh, really?
And that was when, you know, just a few years after this song that you played. And there's a picture of a man on the top in an oval, and he's the president of the Motion Picture Exhibitors League of Pennsylvania. In other words, a trade organization of the people who own movie theaters.
So movies a good
I think
safe
this was
place
given
to
out.
Go.
I think this was given out. I can't prove it. I found the piece of sheet music in a bookstore or an antique store. I can't prove it, but I think they were giving this piece of music out free. And there's no words. It's just kind of a lively, fun song that people could play. But I think the theater owners themselves paid for it, published by Penn Music Publishing Company, it says, that was a publisher, and gave it out for free to advertise that movies were a good, safe place to go.
Yeah, it's like a public service announcement for movies. Let's listen to this one.
That's why I'm blue. What shall I do? And Beatrice said, never despair. Take your girlie to the movies if you can't make love at home. There's no little brother there who always squeals. You can do an awful lot in 7 reels. Take your lessons at the movies and have love scenes of your own. Though she's just a simple little ribbon clerk, close your eyes and think you're kissing Billy Burke. Take your girlie to the movies if you can't make love at home. Take your girlie to the movies if you can't make love at home.
Wow.
Now, there's a challenge question if you want to have your listeners call in. He says you may be going out with a little ribbon clerk, meaning a woman who sells ribbons at the department store or at the dry goods store, as they would have called them in those days. But she may be a little ribbon clerk, but you can imagine she's Billy Burke. Here's the challenge question. Everybody who's listening to your radio show knows who Billy Burke is, because they've all seen her in a very famous movie called The Wizard of Oz. And if anybody could call in and say what she plays in The Wizard of Oz, you will win the Larry Burger Giant Burger Prize.
Yes, whatever that might be, a giant.
Which has yet to be determined.
Let me just interject. You're listening to Dan Kamen along with me, Larry Berger, here on the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade at WRCT Pittsburgh, at WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WSAJ Grove City is actually coming back soon, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, Loudspeaker.fm, Fort Collins, Colorado, and RadioPhoenix.org. Pittsburgh is the place to be tonight at the Harris Theater.
You know, Larry, it is, but I want to say, because you have so many listeners all over the country, that you don't have to feel bad that you can't come to this show. You can find in your local library or even on YouTube, if you look carefully, you'll find a really good copy of The Kid. And it's worth seeing. And here in Pittsburgh, we're having a dreary day. And I can tell you that everybody who comes to the Harris is going to be smiling ear to ear for the whole of this movie and our conversation afterwards. But you don't have to come. You can always find Charlie Chaplin, because he's never stopped being popular, because his films still give us great pleasure and joy. I wanted to mention, too, that making love to your girl had a somewhat different meaning in those days.
Yes, it just meant
it just meant snuggling in those days. It meant sort of being a courting couple.
Batting your eyelashes.
Another expression that's gone out of date. And, you know, the eyes have it was an expression people liked, meaning what we would today say, oh, she's hot.
Yeah. I'm curious about this one.
All the people's show.
He works in a movie show.
Mr. Charlie Chaplin,
dancing in the cabaret,
is a thing of bygone days.
He's the latest and the greatest craze. So Charlie Chaplin.
Where did this come from?
This was from 1915, and it was when he got a lot of publicity because everybody liked his movies, but also because people wrote songs about the things they found so funny. And it's the song is called Those Charlie Chaplin Feet, because he found a funny way to walk.
One fat lady that I saw got a dislocated jaw laughing at those Charlie Chaplin feet.
People wrote dozens of songs in 1915 alone talking about why Charlie Chaplin was so funny.
But he never gets the fight. Wifey's at the movies. Soon the wives will start to stop.
Just to drop that Chaplin mop.
Every man is throwing up his job.
And Stu and McCandless just said Billy Burke is the Good Witch of the North, and said he thinks the singer is Billy Murray here of these songs.
He's absolutely.
Or the first song.
I don't have that information. It may well be. That's a really smart listener. And when he starts to
Nick in West Mifflin writes, "What about Uncle Fester?"
Wow, what another really smart listener. Jackie Coogan, who plays the kid, became a superstar instantly when the kid came out. He was 5 years old, and he was the Shirley Temple of the 1920s. Everybody probably remembers Shirley Temple. Some of your listeners might not have seen her. She was the most popular child star of the 1930s, and she could sing and dance, and she was amazing, and she was at that. She started making movies when she was very young as well. But Jackie Coogan went on. Shirley Temple had a great career afterwards. She became an ambassador for the United Nations.
Shirley Temple Black.
Yeah, because everybody loved her from, you know, their memories of her. Her films are still wonderful. Jackie Coogan didn't have quite such a stellar career. After he was a kid, it's harder for him to get jobs. But one of the jobs he found was he was on a television show called The Addams Family, and he was Uncle Fester. That cute little kid became that strange-looking monster. Charlie Chaplin, when he came to the United States to get an honorary Oscar in 1972, when he introduced his new version of The Kid, I'll tell you after we listen to this.
Okay.
We are in an awful stew. All the cooking we must do, and the wash and ironing too. Oh, we've lost your mother. Brush that teardrop from your eye. There's no reason you should cry. Mother, darling, didn't die, but she's never home. She says the house is busy now, won't mend our BBCs, and all our homes have holy toes, and the final's full of fleas. Since mother goes, the movie shows, everything is on the blink, dirty dishes in the sink. Since mother goes, the movie shows, for dinner baby wails, but that's not a job for males. We have no mister, we have no sister, our hands we blister riding clothes. Poor old father's getting bored, Charlie Chaplin calls it all.
These are infectious.
Since mother goes to movie shows.
Another sign of the time. Since Mother Goes to Movie Shows, it was a song from 1916 about how the housework is not getting done because mother's always at the movies. And you notice the last line was, poor father's going bald, Charlie Chaplin caused it all. Not
He's
a very good rhyme, but
because
the children and dad have to do all the cooking and cleaning, and it's a sign of the times because mothers in those days, women were expected to do all that. Kids' jobs was being kids, dad's job was making money. Those things have changed, but it's quite a funny song.
It's speaking of making money, and we just have a couple seconds left, and then our writers are coming on from Scholastic. Charlie Chaplin, I never knew. He made a lot of money, didn't he?
Even in 1915, they were singing about it. He gets all the dough, Mr. Charlie Chaplin, because his salaries were historic. He made more money. He was the highest paid, he wasn't the richest person, but he was the highest salaried employee in history. He got his salary went 10 times higher every year for the first 4 years he made movies. So he was making more money than almost anybody, and became a multimillionaire because people paying a nickel at first to go to his films because he was the funniest man in the world. There was no question about it.
Well, I hope you'll get a chance to meet Dan tonight. He's a treat. This will be at the Harris Theater, right downtown, this evening, downtown Pittsburgh. 7:30 is the time. The Pittsburgh Cultural Trust is involved. It's The Kid at 100. Quick intro to the movie, the film, and then a discussion afterwards. Dan, thank you for being with us.
Well, it's such a pleasure, Larry. Thanks for having me on. I love talking with you.
And we need to come back and do it again.
Thank you.
what's your movie? Are you taking a trip to the moon? Are you playing the rustic buffoon? Or is it the brilliant but ruthless tycoon? What's your movie? What's your movie? You're the artist who's misunderstood. The bad guy trying to do good. Or just the nicest damn fella in the neighborhood. What's your movie? Suffering motherly mate, or would you settle for a fashion plate? Or are you the schemer we all love to hate? What's your movie? What's your movie? Are you playing the talk of the town? The prince who gave up a crown? Are you standing up singing as the ship goes down? What's your movie?
Thank you to the great Dan Kamen for being here. I was talking with Dan off the air, and we really need to spend some more time together. And maybe do an hour with him and get your involvement, too. So the last few weeks, we've been speaking with writers during this hour here at the Saturday Light Brigade, who've been honored by the Scholastic Writing Awards Program. And we are going to do just that with four more writers. We'll talk a little bit about their lives. They'll share some writing. And you'll get to know them a little better.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
Well, we have four writers with us, and the first thing I'm going to do is just ask each of them to introduce themselves. To you, please let us know where you go to school, your age. If you have any shout-outs, this is a perfect time to do it. And we'll just go from right to left, and we'll start with Dylan. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Dylan Dunlap. I go to Chargers Valley Middle School, and I don't really know what else to say. I really haven't really been able to do much lately because, you know, COVID and all that stuff. I wanted to do golf, but I'm not in high school yet, so I'm not able to sign up for that. I have taken an interest, though, in making games, actually, video games. I really like those. I don't really have any, like, big engines to work with. The only thing I can work with right now is Scratch, which is like a web browser, like baby's first game development tool.
Yeah.
But in high school, I signed up for game development, which is there. They'll let me use Unity so I can actually make good games.
Excellent. Excellent. What grade are you in now?
Eighth.
So you'll get more opportunities. Do you play golf now?
I go to the driving range sometimes with my dad. My mom got me, like, this digital golf thing that I can use to, like, track my swing, and that really helps out.
I'll bet. I'm not a golfer, but it's a lot of it's in the follow-through, I think, at least from what I read.
Always got to keep your eye on the ball and stuff.
Well, great. It's nice to meet you. Let's find out who's on your left.
Hi, I'm Emma Finnerty. I'm in eighth grade, and I'm 14 years old. I'd probably like to shout out my Oma and Pappy, who I hope are listening. And, yeah, that's really it.
Great. Well, it's nice to meet you. And then sitting next to Emma is...
Hi, I'm Julia Finca. I'm a 16-year-old. I go to Winchester Thurston. And, let me think. I would also like to say thank you to my grandparents, who I wrote this story about, who will not understand what I'm saying because they don't speak English, but yeah.
Well, that's a great preview of what we're going to hear. Nice job. And then our last student with us today is...
Hi, I'm Grace Fritch, and I'm a senior at North Allegheny High School. I'm 17 years old. And I'd just like to say, like, thank you to all my English teachers that have encouraged me with writing in the past.
So let's talk about learning to write. What do you think, what's the secret to becoming a good writer, do you think? And anybody can jump in.
I think the secret to being a good writer is just do you. Like, don't care about what other people are telling you to do. Like, you got to do it this way, you got to do it that way. Like, who cares what they say? Just do it your way, and it'll turn out great.
That's a good observation. Anybody else have any thoughts?
I would agree with that fully. I'd also say that something that's really important is if you're not interested in writing something that you're choosing to write in your free time, just don't. I wouldn't invest in that. I would really go after what you are, what excites you. Like, for example, I started writing a piece about a woman in Latvia in the 1800s, which I know nothing about, but the research process really excites you, and I think going after those crazy ideas is what helps keep you having fun.
Any other thoughts about how you get to be good?
Yeah, I'd say, like, just keep writing stuff. I a lot of times will ask my friends for, like, prompts. I'll just say, like, hey, give me a color, give me a place, whatever, and then I use that to build a story, just to, like, give myself practice with using different inspirations.
You anticipated a question that I was going to ask, Grace, which is, what do you do when you're stuck? Or how do you get started? And if there are any tricks to that? And Julia, you seem to perk up Emma, as I said that. Is it hard to get started sometimes?
Sometimes it is. I usually like to just look around and base stuff off of what I see, like the writing that I brought today. I wrote about a car crash that I saw. So, yeah.
So you'll just look for inspiration in the world around you sometimes. And then Grace mentioned just getting a prompt from somebody can be helpful. Anything else?
I think if you want to start writing, like, just go for it. Like, just start, like, jotting down ideas, and eventually something in your head might just click.
It's a good thought. Anything you'd like to add, Julia?
Yeah, I agree with that. Honestly, I was listening into what everyone else was saying just now because I get stuck when I have assignments, and it really frustrates me. but I'd say kind of browsing the internet. Like, when sometimes if you just go on random websites that have like those top 10 craziest car crashes or anything, sometimes you'll find something that kind of sparks your imagination.
Something random that just might inspire you once you see it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to hear what each of you brought. And would anybody like to be first? Dylan, do you want to start? Okay. Tell us what we might need to know, if anything. Do you need to tell us any, give us any context?
No, not really. There's really no context to it.
Okay, whenever you're ready, this is Dylan Dunlap's work.
Okay, so it's called That Dreaded Day. The forest is dark and cold, trees dripping wet from the storm that had come a day ago. Oh, that dreaded day. I have not eaten in at least 24 hours. Ugh. I can feel my muscles shriveling already. Oh, what I would do for just a morsel of food, and to think that I wouldn't be in this situation if it weren't for him. He betrayed us, sold us away, all for money. People's desire for money makes me sick, but who gave him the money and for what reason, you might be thinking. Well, I'll tell you. I'll tell you about that dreaded day. It all started a couple of weeks ago. A simple family man named Dave was in a perfect, comfortable situation. Food, water, wife, kids, everything. But no, he wanted more. He was such a selfish man. Oh, yes, he was. He wanted to live like a king and be rich and famous. Well, he got his wish, but we all paid for it. One day when he was going to fetch water, a wizard visited him and said he would grant him one wish. Obviously, he wished for riches. So he got his wish. When he arrived home, all the money in town was in his house. But guess who didn't have money? Us. That wizard took all of our money and gave it to this man. With none of us having money, we couldn't afford anything. We were kicked from our homes and forced to live on the streets, but Dave didn't care. He got his wish. Nothing else mattered to him anymore. Yesterday, a storm came by and gave at least half the town hypothermia. This led to a lot of families, as well as me, abandoning town in hopes of finding shelter from the elements. Many perished along the way. Now you know what happened on that dreaded day. The day many people lost their homes and their lives, as well have lost my home. And death may not be far off. If anyone finds this, please be kind to those who claim they're from the village. And let this be a lesson to those selfish, heartless beings out there that I dare not call human. If you are like this, change your ways, or it may not be good for your neighbors.
Wow. That sounds like a note somebody left.
Yeah, I actually left the initials, John Finman, the person who left this. I forgot to mention that at the end. My bad.
Oh, no, that's, well, it was apparent to me. Do any of you have any comments on what you just heard?
I really like the imagery of the trees with the dripping water.
Thank you.
You mentioned, and I don't know if I would have reached this conclusion on my own or not, but you had mentioned your interest in gaming, and I almost see imagery of a game as part of this in terms of survival.
No.
Yeah, I just see it. It's funny. I like the story that's there. Anybody else have anything to add?
Actually, what inspired me to write this was, at the time before I was writing this, I had like seen a lot of news headlines and stuff about Nintendo just doing a bunch of bad stuff for the community. You know, like, they hold this like official tournament for one of their games, and their grand prize for the grand winner of the official tournament was $25. And not even like cash. It was credit for their digital storefront. That was it. And they didn't even give it to them. Like, the person who won the tournament still didn't get their cash prize.
That's not much of a reward from them. Well, thank you. That is Dylan. Why don't we just go? Do you want to go next? We'll just sort of go around the room. So next up, we have Emma Finnerty at Chartiers Valley also. And Emma, tell me what you would like to share.
All right. I wrote a story about a car crash, as I said I saw. I was at a writing camp at the time that I wrote this, and we were given a bit of a prompt as well. So I'll just start. My writing is called The Crash. I said, She says the last thing she remembers is the slam of the brakes, the way the cars connected like Legos, blending into one another, the dark red splattered on the seats like watercolor, the darkness as if someone turned out the lights, the way they strained to escape, but many escaped to another place. They were all so close she could see the whites of their eyes, and she cried as she saw their faces turn ghost white. She said she can't remember the pain, only the sorrow in her best friend's eyes. I'm sorry, her best friend had yelped, trying to pull back from the roaring flames of the small explosion. And then they locked eyes for a moment. Tears burned down her face as she cried, praying that the nightmare would end. And that was the last time they spoke before the lights went dark. She woke up days later to see a building of lights of her hospital room beaming down on her like stage lights. She sees scars and burns on her legs. She didn't recognize herself. But as she turned and saw her best friend, she, too, burned, but still she saw her face. The girl cried to see that they had made it through. She sat up, wincing, to realize that only herself and her friend had made it out. She heard an obnoxious beep of a heart monitor and an old disc with a scratch. She saw the blue dress, the color of a robin's egg, and the soggy red bandages just holding on to her cracked skin like a wet rag. Then, out of nowhere, she heard crying and turned to see her mother opening the curtains that surrounded the beds. You're okay.
Wow. That was pretty amazing. And that was based on your seeing this accident?
I didn't see all of it. I saw some of it. It wasn't as severe as I made it sound. I over-exaggerated a little bit.
Well, that's your right. Any comments at all on...
I really like the imagery used and, like, the big words really helped me, like, feel the impact of this crash, you know?
Yeah, I like the imagery of the Legos fitting together, too.
I liked all the metaphors to describe the imagery, like comparing the blue of the dress to a robin's egg and all those.
Yeah. Have you ever been closer to an accident than the one you observed?
Not really. I've seen a few, not crazy, but if you look through the back window of my house, we're really close to a highway, so you can always sometimes see accidents back there. That kind of inspired it as well.
Yeah, you captured the notion of an accident really, really well.
Thank you.
It makes you think as you listen. That was Emma Finnerty, and we have Julia and Grace to go. Julia, do you want to go next?
Yeah, for sure. So just for a little bit of some background information, this is just a short excerpt from the introduction of my piece about my grandparents, and it's titled The Sun Deck at My Grandparents' House. So yeah, without further ado, I haven't seen Omi and Opa for years. Traveling out to the rolling hills in Rhineland, Germany was too high risk for my father during the pandemic. I never really bonded with either of them, honestly. Sure, I learned German and ate all the Flammenkuchen and Kartoffelklößen I could manage while there, stuffing my face with the rich, hearty meals my Oma put her soul into. But I never really felt like I understood them, or that they understood me. When I told them about my college goals, they weren't following in accord until they heard the words Princeton through the phone during our ritual Samstag FaceTimes. Opa was born in Köln and moved away during the war while his father fought, but the army he fought for was never disclosed in the deep, dark cellars of their suburban German hillside home. I never had the guts to talk to them about it. I mean, they're Catholic Germans. It's no mystery what army they fought in. But what should I even call my Omi and Opa? That sounds almost barbaric of me, but how can I distinguish my German family from my Jewish American identity? I remember the first time I heard about what the Germans did to Jews like me in the war. It was at Sunday school. I was under a dark blanket fort with my classmates, assembled for storytelling. The teacher pulled us all in close, reading to us a picture book about a young girl during the Holocaust. My eyes fluttered silently when the teacher bluntly explained what Germany had been. It felt impossible to me. All those years I had gone to see my very own family in that same place where people like me were killed, and no one had said anything. I was a mix of the predator and prey of the Holocaust, and no one cared to warn me. Not my mom, my papa, my Oma, Opa, or anyone. But why is that? Why wasn't the topic of one of the largest world occurrences ever brought up?
Wow. That's incredible to think that you I don't think I've ever met anybody with that kind of conflict in their family history. Are they still living, your Oma and Opa?
Yes, they are. I haven't been able to see them for a few years because of the pandemic, but I'm planning on seeing them this summer, which I'm excited for. But it's really interesting going to their house and seeing, like, photos and things such as that, and also walking through the town that they live in. And, like, one year I went on a tour with my aunt of the city, and there were a lot of different, like, anti-Semitic statues and things that were pointed out, and it was just interesting to see all these things I hadn't seen before, but with this lens of the fact that, like, my family was involved on two separate sides of World War II, like, kind of, it was a new lens, for sure.
Yeah. Are you able to talk to your grandparents about these issues?
I have not spoken to them about this. They actually don't know that I wrote my Scholastic piece about this. They just know it's about family. And so that'll be, I plan on speaking to them about it, of course, but it's a hard topic.
It sure is. I think you covered it really well. Any other thoughts that anybody would like to pass along to Julia?
I think it was amazing personally with all of the different, like, dialogues and adding in the German, especially because I'm currently taking German. So I understood a little bit of that, not all of it, but it was really interesting to hear.
Thank you.
Yeah, I liked the German too. I've taken enough that I could recognize, let's see, we had potato something in there, right?
We did, yes. It's like potato balls, kind of, like dumplings, yeah. Almost. You knew it, yeah.
Any other thoughts?
Yeah, I really liked the way you were able to weave in, like, some of the background stuff, like, in the telling of, like, a current moment in the way you were going through the story.
Thank you.
Nice job. Anything, Dylan? Or?
No, I don't really have anything to say.
Yeah, it's great. So let's go to our final story for today. Grace Fritch, who is of North Allegheny. What did you bring?
I brought an excerpt from a story I wrote called Strange Science, and just for, like, a little background for what happens before this, these three friends are on a bridge, and one of them falls off the edge of it, and the person whose perspective it's written from jumps off the bridge to save her friend. The water broke over my face, and I took a gasp of breath. I started coughing, but I knew I couldn't stay here in the middle of the water. I looked around to see that we had drifted about 200 feet further from the bridge, but still in the center of the river. Police lights flashed on the shore. Kicking with all my might and fighting against the current, I moved towards the lights. I don't know how I managed to do it, but after an indeterminate amount of time, I made it to the shore. I dragged Tessa up over the rocks, careful not to bang her head. Shocked policemen ran forward, shouting instructions to each other. My mind was filled with fog and exhaustion, made my limbs go slack. An EMT rushed to my side, helping me find a place to sit far from the water. I shivered uncontrollably in the front of the cold water that dripped from my hair and clothes. The EMT draped an insulated blanket over my shoulders. Three more carried Tessa onto flat land and began CPR. Water spluttered from her mouth, making her cough, but the color was returning to her face. I let out a sigh of relief. The rest of the day was a blur, Marley running forward to make sure we were okay, our parents' tear-stained faces looming over us overprotectively, being moved to the hospital, though they found nothing wrong, police asking questions, reporters gawking, and doctors pushing them all away. More questions flooded my mind. How long were we under? How did the impact not break every bone in both of our bodies? And how did I manage to drag myself and another person through the current? But I was too tired and distracted to answer them. I was a spectacle for a long time, but eventually the shock wore off, and people's interest faded. Though Tessa and Marley continued to look at me as though I was something mystical that couldn't possibly be real. What happened to me that day was scientifically impossible. I knew it, Tessa and Marley knew it, our parents knew it, the police knew it, everyone knew it. And yet it happened. The funny thing about science is that the things that seem to be breaking its laws the most are just the next step in understanding it.
Nicely done. Any comments at all?
Yeah, I really loved how powerful that ending was with the idea of science, like the newest ideas being broken, or like, you know what I mean, the things that break the laws of science being the newest discoveries. I think that's really powerful, along with the fact that like people's interests fading. I feel like that was a really pretty image, but sad. Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. That was really, really interesting. And I also like the metaphors in your piece of like dragging her through the water and the impact of the water when she first entered it. So yeah, that was amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, the imagery in the story was definitely very vivid. It really helped me get a picture and truly feel what was going on. And I really appreciate that.
Thanks.
Well, it's such a pleasure to have all of you here. Any of you have any idea what you might like to do after high school?
Go to college, get a degree, and I don't know. It depends on really what works out. Like, if golf works out, I'd like to go do that. But if I take more interest in game development, I'd like to eventually start my own business one day in making games.
Nice. Anybody else?
I think I want to go to college for either early childhood education or child psychology. And I definitely want to continue, like, writing on the side. So.
And you're getting ready to graduate this year. Do you know, are you considering any in particular?
I haven't officially decided yet, but definitely one of my top choices is John Carroll University.
Excellent. And what about you two?
I am not really sure what I'd like to do yet. I know for a fact that I want to start writing. Ever since I was little, really, I've wrote like little books and tried to publish them, I guess, but that never really worked out. So I'd like to try and maybe write a few books.
Excellent. Yeah, it's still kind of early for you. And what about you, Julia?
I'm also not positive, but I really enjoy nature, being outside, along with writing. And I think that I recently had a guest come into our school named Robin Wall Kimmerer, who is an author, and she was talking to us about the fact that along with climate change, you need to have stories told to really get to people's hearts about it. And I think that would be something really interesting for me to do, to travel around and write about things that won't always be here.
That's a good thought, to be more persuasive or to help people see those things. It's really a pleasure to have all of you here. Did anybody mean to say something that they didn't get a chance to say?
Nah, I've said everything I need to.
You guys should definitely check out our full pieces on the Scholastic website. And thank you, everyone, for listening to this. And thank you to my teachers.
Yeah, I'd like to say thank you to all my teachers, and specifically Miss Amy Bouch for encouraging me. And yeah, thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you to my dad, who made me do this for the extra credit. And now I get to be here, so thank you very much for encouraging me to do this. And it was a pleasure to be here.
We have a $25 store credit for you. Thank you. Anything else to add?
Just thanks for letting me be on the show, and thank you for everybody listening.
Thanks to all of you for being here today. From the Scholastic Awards, the Writing Awards. Thanks, Emma, Dylan, Grace, and Julia. We're going to get ready for Poppy, who is going to play for us. She's 13 and is one of our Remake Learning Days youth ambassadors. You are listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade Saturday mornings on a great group of radio stations and internet radio stations and streaming services, including slbradio.org/radio. A quick thanks to our hardworking staff, Director of Programs and Birthday Girl, Janessa Schuller, Executive Producer Ricky Berger, Associate Producer and Community Engagement Coordinator Alexis Thompson, Manager of Production and Distribution Chad Green, Director of Operations Robert Gray, Senior Staff Educator Ben Rutkowski, Staff Educators Britt Hafley and Deanna Beringer, Manager of Special Projects Tad Whistle. Members of our Youth Council, Morgan McCray and Lance Wilhelm, Director of Development, Susan Blackman. And this is Larry Berger. Cindy, thank you for your note. I'll pass that along, Cindy, with a recommendation for one of our writers. Poppy Seif is going to perform for you in just a moment. We're going to get her all set up and ready to go.
The world through the sunset in your eyes, traveling the train through clear Moroccan skies. Ducks and pigs and chickens gone, animal carpet wall to wall, American ladies 5 foot tall in blue, sweeping cobwebs from the edges of my mind. Had to get away to see what we could find. I hope the days that lie ahead bring us back to where they've led. Listen not to what's been said to you. Don't you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? Don't you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? They're taking me to Marrakesh. All on board the train. All on board the train. I've been saving all my money just to take you there. Smell the garden in your hay. Take the train from Casablanca, going south, blowing smoke rings from the corners of my mouth.
Colored curtains sing in the air, charming cobras in the square, striped gilets we can wear at home. Don't you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? Don't you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? They're taking me to Marrakesh. Don't you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? Don't you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? They're taking me to Marrakesh. All on board the train. All on board the train. Thank you.
Mary Jane Berger Memorial Foundation joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. The Mary Jane Berger Memorial Foundation is devoted to helping children and families learn about herbs, their cultivation, and uses. Additional information about herbs is available from the Herb Society of America at herbsociety.org or at mjbergerfoundation.org.
Richie Art and his version of Marrakesh Express. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. Thank you for being with us. Still more to come, live music in our next hour from the Morning People. We had the pleasure of meeting Poppy Seif as part of our remake Learning Days Youth Ambassador program. And we learned during the first night that she also is a guitar player and singer, songwriter. She also plays songs written by other people. And we immediately decided we had to do something about that, namely to have her come and join us. We'll talk with Poppy after this first song. Here she is, Poppy Seif.
What's it feel like to be alone on a Sunday, remembering the time?
You have Poppy Seeth. Tell me why you picked that song and how you learned it.
I recently went kind of through a rough patch just in my mental health in general. And I definitely would not be where I am today without my group of friends. They've just always been there for me. And we're a pretty tight pact, even though we're a pretty big group. And I don't know, I'm just very grateful for them.
And did that song, did you learn that song from the group?
No, it's just, the song is from an artist that I like and admire in their songwriting. And I found it was a very pretty song.
Yeah, I looked it up. Cave Town, is
yes.
that right? I looked it up as you were singing it because the lyrics kind of captured me. It sounds like music's been really important to you in terms of healing and feeling alive and connected to people, has it?
Yeah, definitely. And Cave Town, their music and what they play, their chords are extremely simple, but they're an amazing songwriter. And that's kind of, I strive to be like them someday, writing my music. But yeah, that song holds a special place in my heart, and I don't know.
When did you start playing guitar?
Very recently, actually. I got my two guitars, the hand-me-downs, I got them as a present for Christmas. But I've been playing ukulele for a couple of, like, 5 months before that. Both of them I am self-taught in. I've never taken lessons for either guitar or ukulele. You can tell I was fumbling up a lot with my guitar.
Oh, you sounded fine.
I've only been playing for a couple of months, but I absolutely adore playing guitar.
You're courageous. You have a really beautiful voice.
Thank you.
Have you sung longer than
yes,
you've played guitar?
Yes, definitely. I have been singing, well, I don't know. I don't know how you measure how long you've been singing.
Yeah.
I've been singing since I was born. Since I could speak, I was singing, but not always good. I think I actually got serious and thought more about my singing when I was in 7th grade, which was last year.
Yeah, you really have a beautiful voice. I like what you said. Most kids make up songs, little babies make up songs and sing. So,
one of my most vivid memories of me when I was like really young, I don't remember anything from when I was young, but one of my most vivid memories of that was me sitting, we had this giant piano in my house. Well, it wasn't a giant piano. It was like one of those stand tall ones.
Yeah, sure.
But it felt giant to me because I was just a tiny little kid. And it was in between my kitchen and my dining room. And it was when my uncle was staying with us. And we sat on the piano and we wrote songs. I have a video of me making a song about an evil strawberry that was going to kill everyone if you ate it. And I was just pressing random keys on the piano and singing. And I was just having a good time. I thought I sounded amazing.
It's great. I think you probably did. this is Poppy Seeth. What would you like to do next?
I think I might play one of my own songs.
That would be wonderful. And then we'll have time for one more, too. And we'll talk a little bit more after this one. What is this called?
My Little Monster.
My Little Monster. This is Poppy Seeth.
I'm sorry if I was acting strange today. I couldn't think of anything worthwhile to say. Decided it'd be better if I ran away from you. I'm sorry if I was trying way too hard. My other friends have just left me way too scarred. And now I'm just hoping you won't break my heart in two. Cause my little monster has taken a liking to your little monster. It's
seems a bit frightening, but my little monster doesn't know what to do. And my little monster's breaking and fracking under the pressure of all of this cracking, 'cause my little monster is taking a liking to you. Sorry if I seem too nervous and weird. I really don't want to ruin what we have here. If what we have here is getting no attention from you. And I know that sometimes I'm a bit strange, and sometimes even a bit deranged, and I can't look you in the face. But please let me rest my case, because my little monster has taken a liking to your little monster. It seems a bit frightening, but my little monster, it's breaking and cracking under the pressure. Because my little monster's taking a liking to your little monster. It seems a bit frightening, but my little monster doesn't know what to do. 'Cause my little monster's breaking and fracking under the pressure of all of this cracking. 'Cause my little monster has taken a liking to you.
Poppy, see, if I really like that song, and you sing that really, really well, was it hard to write?
Very. I've been trying to write this song for like over 3 weeks. I just kept getting stopped because not knowing how to write it or when. I've never been very good at songwriting, and especially not good with showing other people my music, because I'm just a perfectionist when it comes to that, and I'm never really proud of any of my songs. It wasn't until like yesterday where I was able to finish this, which is why it's like I kept on moving around and accidentally like messing up the tempo, because I was just like barely had any time to practice this.
I'm honored that you shared it with us, and you're 13. And I mean, and I'm 60 and I'm still learning this kind of stuff, so I wouldn't be too hard on yourself. That song, I think, will touch a lot of people and I think a lot of people will find themselves or people they know in that song. I think it's a really well-written song.
Thank you.
Where do you go to school?
I go to school at Ellis. I'm in the eighth grade.
And have you thought about what you might want to do afterwards?
No idea.
It's too early.
It's too early, and I just, every year, I'm like, oh, I want to do this thing. Right now, I really want to at least minor in animation, if not major, because that's something I really love and have always loved doing. Just drawing and doing pretty much anything creative is my dream. That's my job.
That's terrific. We do have time for one more song before you play it. Is there anything else you would like to say or anybody you'd like to acknowledge?
I would like to acknowledge my parents for just always giving me the room to be creative, and for all of my friends who are, you know, always there for me and also are always giving me the room to be creative. And in fact, they like scream at me whenever I'm self-deprecating about my art, which is really sweet, and I love them with all of my heart.
Well, I'm glad you said that. And it's natural often to be self-deprecating. So I can't wait to – we're going to be working more with you throughout the coming month with Remake Learning, and I hope you'll come back and play some more too. Poppy, Seif, and what's the next song you're going to do?
I am going to be doing Funny Feeling by Bo Burnham. Sorry, I forgot the...
Who's it by?
Bo Burnham.
Okay. Once again, Poppy.
Sunning AK resolution meditation app. In honor of the revolution, it's half off at the Gap. Deadpool self-awareness, loving parents, harmless fun. The backlash to the thing that's just begun. Robert Iger's face. Discount Etsy as a prop. Bugles take on race. Female Colonel Sanders, easy answer, civil war. The whole world at your fingertips, the ocean at your door. Association, fully out your mind. Googling to realization, hating what you find. Full agoraphobic, losing focus, cover blown. A book on getting better, hand delivered by a drone.
Poppy Seif, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.